Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
So this is a guy who lives high on the hog, and he has this Tammany Hall style attitude to power. And it's the Chicago way, absolutely.
Look, the Chicago way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago way.
The Chicago way. That's the focus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
Well, here we are. It's Christmas time. And that's when good friends get together and maybe one is like rude and then asks personal questions of the other. And that's what I'm going to do. This is John Cass, co-host here of the Chicago Way.
And I'm Jeff Carlin.
And you're Jeff Carlin.
Co-host.
And, co-host Baker, here. Yeah. Baker of Pie. Yeah, you almost went into your spiel. Okay, yeah, good. Right. Baker of Cat Pies, Master of Cats. But here's the thing. In Christmas time, Jeff likes to, you know, take a break and have a good cup of coffee. And I was asking him about whether he, before we came on, whether he grinds the roast, you know, roast the beans and grinds, like my cousin Vasily, who's like extremely particular, you know?
I believe the actual question was, am I one of these coffee fascists who grind my own beans and roast my own beans, John?
There's some sort of defensiveness, a tad. You kind of sound like Adam Kinzinger when I'm asking you what's your next move going to be.
Yes, exactly.
No emotion. I don't want any emotion here about the beans. But what do you do?
Yeah. Well, like I said, I don't think my coffee routine is a political stance, but I'm I don't know. I get whole beans. We get delivered whole beans from one of the roasteries in the town, and I grind them up, and I have a big 50-ounce French press. It's a stainless steel, and make my coffee that way. Because, you know, otherwise I got to buy one of these K-pod, where they are, K-cup things, and that coffee never tastes good to me.
You said I have a 50. The way you said it to me originally was like you, like almost a vicious attack. Like I have a
50 ounce.
It's not the size that counts. Yeah, I know. Right. It's just the ounces.
Right.
So,
yeah,
it's good. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Look at him. He's sipping it now.
So good.
One thing you have been doing since we're on the journey of going into the personal lives.
Sure.
And you're kind of like Dan Proft in this way that you never want to talk about your personal life. So I'm going to press it just for Christmas. But, you know, it's sort of like, let's know about Jeff. John, all right. Why it's all about you. Let's talk about Jeff.
Sure.
And as you're studying to become a teacher, you're in college to do that. You're also, besides doing this great job and consulting at WGN as an executive producer, you're also delivering
baked goods, gluten-free baked goods, yes.
So you got your 50-ounce press of coffee.
Right, my 50 ounces of French press coffee.
You're driving, you're driving the delivery truck. Do you ever want to reach back there and grab like a gluten-free blueberry turnover or something?
Turnover, yes. You know, I would. The stuff we sell is fantastic. It's a little gluten-free bakery down the street from where I live. And And it's, you know, small business family, women owned small business. You know, they sell gluten stuff, free stuff, and vegan and dairy free stuff. And it's, they have a proprietary blend of flour. It's really interesting.
Do you ever bring it over to Lauren Cohn? Because I remember when she was like totally.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I should bring some to her.
You know what? We should get her to do an ad if they're interested. Voiceover an ad on the Chicago Way podcast for the gluten free people.
There you go.
Sponsorship. I meant sponsorship, not ad. Right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I do. It's fun. I shoot tour around the city. I visit all the every Whole Foods in Chicagoland. I visit at least once a week, dropping off boxes and cases of baked goods. I've learned the city streets pretty well. It's becoming handy. I will say that everybody needs to stop texting. Get off your phone. If you're driving, get off your phone. Put your phone down. It's so bad, and people don't even realize they're doing it.
What do you do? Because you're a professional driver, you know, closed course, right? But I mean, you see somebody like some stoner, let's put it that way, some stoner in a big SUV next to you, and he's texting, and you're thinking, do I want to cut over into that lane and be in front of that guy?
All right. That goes through my mind all the time. And honestly, the biggest culprit, John, is it's suburban, like, housewives and moms and stuff, because they've got a million things going on.
They're great for populating the planet.
Yeah, no.
But they're not terrible for driving.
Right. And the
roads. Not a women driver thing, not that. I'm not saying that.
No, there's plenty of truck drivers and guys, you know,
who are just as
bad, but I don't experience a lot of that in my suburban setting. But it's terrible, and they don't even realize that people don't even think about it. That, you know, you honk at them because they're on their phone, like, I'm keeping up with traffic. Like, that's not the point. You're dangerous.
Yeah. You're not looking at where you're going. I could have been stopped. You're going to rear-end me. Right. You know, I think we need to get capital punishment back in Illinois, because I want you to, if you're texting, you should be grabbed out of your car and killed on the spot in front of your family. I swear. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, filthy animal. Right, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I sometimes I feel the same way, but I don't condone that, John. You know that.
No, neither do I. I'm just saying it's for radio.
I know, right? It's a rage thing at the time, which road rage is terrible, but it's even worse, John, is faux rage. See what I did there? It Twitter faux rage.
Oh, excuse me. Well, okay, we've got Twitter faux rage issues. I have some. Just the other day, I saw a tweet of a fellow named Byron Sigio Lopez. Right. You know who he is? He's basically a communist or democratic socialist, whatever they want to call themselves. And he's an alderman of the 25th Ward.
Mm-hmm.
And the other day, CWB, our friends at CWB Chicago, called him out. And so I did too. I joined in because he was demanding he wanted to get rid of the cops in the 25th Ward. Because, you know, they're too oppressive, you know, cops, police. Oh, my God. You know, let's defund them.
Right. They're the cause of all our problems, apparently.
But then he has another problem where the white people get upset, you know, because that's all they care about is the peloteros, you know, the people selling corn and stuff from the push carts.
Right.
Like my grandfather used to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're getting slaughtered, robbed, shot all over a little village in his ward. So now he's demanding more cops for that. So CWB said, what do you want, less cops or more? And I'm like, you want less cops or more cops? What kind of a moron are you? You know, make up your bleeping mind. Here's his response. On December 18th, this was just a couple days ago, Byron Sigio Lopez, here's his response to me and CWB. Racist John Cass again to cover for corrupt officers and white supremacists. You keep white supremacists in your area. Two kids are killed in our community. Have some respect. So what do we think of that, people?
I mean,
I'm a racist, a white supremacist. Yeah.
What about ism?
Greek supremacists.
Yeah.
Greek supremacy.
It's foolishness. I mean, it's this idea that one, two things can't be happening at the same time. And two is the way he writes this, it makes it seem like there are two kids were killed in this community by white supremacists. Okay. I mean,
that's all they have. Right. Is the race and gender card.
Right.
I mean, Lori, the same thing, just like Kim and Boss Tony. It's all the same. They've destroyed the city. In my view, maybe not yours, but my view, the left has destroyed the city of Chicago. They're tearing the state of Illinois apart.
Mm-hmm.
People are fleeing. What can I say?
For sure.
I just want to tell the truth here.
Yeah. And to CW's regard, they note in the story writing about him that at the end of the day, you know, the aldermen don't really and older people don't really have the full say as to where cops go. You know, that's the police do that. And, you know, it's just he's just making hay for hay's sake. I don't know. It's just doesn't make sense. You know, he's talking out of both sides of his mouth. And his district is seeing less and less cops. I mean, that's what he wanted, apparently. And now
he's getting heat.
Right.
And those two boys that were shot at Juarez at the high school.
Right.
All right. Here's something I just heard from a police source. And we're heavy on police sources today because guess what? Jeff and I know cops. We don't like hate on cops. We don't love them, but we don't hate on them.
Right.
They got a job to do. So do we.
Yeah. Tough job.
So I'm told that according to the source that school personnel at Juarez were contacted by detectives. You know, like what happened here? Who are these kids? What's going on? No, I can't talk to you. I'm not talking to you. These are educators. So my advice to educators is if the police are there to bust, like maybe Benito and Juarez have two joints in their socks, okay, I'm not going to, you know, get upset about it. But if it involves murder and gang assassinations in front of a school, I would hope that Chicago police and Chicago public school people could work together.
Right. And older people. I mean,
and older people like that losers.
I mean,
Digio Lopez.
Yeah, exactly. It's just he wants to say one thing and take credit for it, but then in reality slaps him.
He's a chewy guy, right? Is he?
I would imagine if he's in this city as an elected official and he's a Democratic socialist, I would assume he has to be tied to.
I don't know. Maybe I kind of think now I've got to, you know that me and Chewy go back a while and
yeah,
I like the guy. And I'm going to go watch Super Mario Brothers movie just to, you know, so I could get some material for his campaign.
Oh boy,
that's coming up now. Okay, after Christmas,
oh my gosh, right?
After Christmas, we're gonna get focused on the main event, which is Mayor of Chicago. What do you think is happening now, as we wait for Christmas and New Year's, and then boom, January 2nd with you have hangovers, and boom,
slap. It's gonna be it's on. But it's not on for Lori Lightfoot. I mean, latest polling shows that she's trailing Willie Wilson, or she's beating Willie Wilson by 2 points, but she's trailing Paul Vallis by 4 points and Chewy Garcia by almost 13 points. Chewy's leading the pack. This is what it was M3 Strategies based in Chicago. I mean, it's a small, to the 440 likely voters, so it's a really small snapshot, but... Right, that being said, Chewy Garcia, 28% of likely voters would vote for him. Former Chicago Pools Schools CEO Paul Vallis was polling at 19%, Lori Lightfoot at 15%, and Willie Wilson at 13%. And everybody else. It's a
statistical tie here.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And here's the race. Lori Lightfoot, let's give her the nod because she's the incumbent.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Vallis, Willie Wilson, and Byron Sigio Lopez's friend, Chuy Garcia, the Chapatista of Chicago. And I love Chiapas, even though I've never been there. And I'm sure that people can come to it any way they want. But to me, that's where the race is. It's Lori's, more people want her gone than want her to be mayor.
Yeah, and absolutely.
That's just the truth of it, because people know her now. They didn't know her when she was coming on the Chicago Way and give me a hug giving you a hug. Remember those hug time? Remember the, right. the hugs? You know?
Right. Well, those were the days when she came in as the agent of change, and she was going to root out, you know, drain the swamp, wherever we heard that before, of Chicago politics. And, you know, then all of a sudden she decided, well, you know, I also need to bow before every little subset of the city. So I'm going to promise everything to everyone and not do any of it. And here we are.
Come on. Since when did you get two little short people, a thin short person and a fat short person, both in, and it's me, both and with hair on my back. I don't know about Lori. I don't want to even go there. But
you did.
But you had two people like this with short, stumpy legs of the variety, the perfect physical construction of mountain runners and thieves, so we could steal other people's sure, goats. Sure. I could steal your goats and get away with it because up
sturdy
and down.
Sturdy in the mountains.
Scampering on short legs, like Messi, you know, but but he's Italian, playing it, pretending to be an Argentinian. But yes, yeah, so where are we on Lori? Yeah, and then we were hugging in front of you.
Yeah,
you can't remember it when she'd show up and hi John, yeah. Hi Jeff, hi guys.
Oh, remember yeah,
that little husky voice. You think, oh my God, she's so cute.
Little hat. I know.
She... Oh, that little hat.
Yep,
the little felt fedora. And the sparkly eyes. Yeah, all that was fun. But I don't know if it's fun for her now.
No, I mean, those numbers alone show you that she's playing from behind, as they say in sports, which is an apt description. Because like you said, people are on to her. People would see what she is. I mean, she's lost any of the young vote, I think, that was following her in. I mean, like, my wife was all excited for her when she was elected too, and hoping she was going to change things and
right
do a lot of good for the city, and now she just can't stand her, wants her, just like you, wants her to hop on the river and float away.
Just float away, Lori, on a kayak with a little like a rat, like a sail, you know.
Right, exactly. Like
a surfboard with a sail or something.
Exactly.
Yeah, but we're gonna have now the next phase of this mayoral campaign, more polls, more screaming, more. When does the race card come in? Is it already here? Like, are they going to say, because I noticed the Tribune in his wisdom did a story like, will white voters stay with Lori Lightfoot? So in other words, if they don't like her now that they know her and they don't support her, they're racists, right?
Right.
Okay. But what's the next phase of that? What's happening with that?
I mean, we're going to get slammed with ads that are going to be pretty much saying that, you know, telling people that Paul Vallis is somehow, you know, hurts on any of my
evil white Republican, even though like he grew up politically in the lap of Don Clark Netsch, I used to call her Whistler's mother, and Paul would call me and scream at me, you know, what are you doing? You bleep, 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 you know? And I'm like, well, she looks like Whistler's mother. Come on, knock it off. But that's a kind of Phil Rock, Don Clark Netsch Democrat that he was.
Yeah.
And I she's going to, yeah. she's, she and some of her media mouthpiece are going to try to make him out to be, you know, I don't know what, Eddie Burke.
Right. I mean, that's the crazy part, that every time I hear someone report something about, you know, the race or what have you, they give out these stats, the poll numbers. Yeah. And it's always, you know, incumbent Lori Lightfoot and Congressman Chuy Garcia and Republican Paul Vallis. And it's like, wait a minute. First of all, it's an open election. So there's no, you don't say socialist Chuy Garcia and.
Wait, are these news people said?
Yeah. All the time I hear it. And it's like, he's like, when they're trying to quote unquote analyze the poll, and it's like, no, you're not. Do you not see your bias sticking out in front of your face there?
Which one, who's doing that? Is it WGN?
I won't name names, but they're
really?
It's certainly radio stations, and it's across the dial. I mean, it's not just limited to three letter stations.
I've been trying to get Jeff Carlin. I've been begging him to write a column for guest column for johncastnews.com.
Ding.
And, I've got to get surgery on the other shoulder. So it hurts, Jeff. It hurts to even type. I just sit on my ass and I'm going to get blisters just sitting on my ass. And it's hard to type. Right. And I was hoping that Jeff would be the media critic, because wouldn't that be cool?
But I'm not a media critic. I mean,
I mean, that's what I mean. You'd be perfect for it.
Well, I there will become a time when I'm ready to move to becoming a teacher and I'm ready. I'll be ready to speak my mind, John.
I don't know if they'll ever, even after hanging out with me, you're going to have to. I think before the cock crows, you're going to have to disavow me three times at least. You know, I don't know, John Cass. in order to get your teaching job, or maybe even like do a physics representation, like. How does skin react to boiling oil? Let's put John Cass in this cauldron and find out, kids.
I don't think we'll be doing that. But I've thought about that, John, but I'm not worried.
All right, buddy.
I'll take it on.
There's got to be a seamless transition to our next topic, because you can see how we're doing this like real radio veterans. But the seamless transition I would go for, now that I've mentioned it and broken the whole train of it, is that it's Christmas time.
It is Christmas time.
And I've got some issues of my own. I've got a house full of people coming over. My brother's coming in from Romania, his boys.
Excellent.
And Dina, my brother Pete, and his boy son and daughters, and Georgia, his wife.
Are they all hunkering down at the Cass compound?
In the, as the newspaper said, the sumptuous wood floors? Yeah.
Sumptuous
wood floors. So anyway.
And then you're going to get snowed on heavily, because it looks like there's a blizzard coming through.
I want cold. All I want is for my Christmas is lumps of coal, charcoal, because, I'm the bad boy always, but I deserve to be punished, but I have barbecuing to do because I'm doing roast beef and I've always done it outside. And you know what? I'll be damned. Sorry, Lord, I didn't mean that, but I'll be darned if I'm going to do it inside in some bleeping oven, like one of Betty's double ovens in the sumptuous wood floor mansion. So I'm going to work outside and with bad shoulders, and Jeff doesn't give a bleep, and I it's okay. But wait, making it worse, these newscasters, I was listening to the news, and okay, there's weather coming. We know this, storm, snow, whatever. And I'm remembering a guy John Dempsey from WLS.
John.
Love the guy.
Yeah.
Good golfer. Hated golf, but he was very pleasant. But his voice would become like nails on a chalkboard by a teacher named Holga Krapnick, if there was such a teacher.
It's amazing.
Nails on a chalkboard, because he'd scream out his weather reports that would threaten your very life. Like, it'll be freezing, a deadly freezing. And it would just drive me insane. And Jeff was at the radio station at WLS then.
Yeah.
And Jeff and Michael Garay and all these production people were like, oh, they loved to hear that freezing, because that was AM disc jockey voice control.
Yes, I know, right? I don't understand it. I mean, people get all upset because people are talking about the weather and they say they're hyping up the weather and whatever. And I get that. I mean,
because they're scaring me. It's freezing.
Yeah. Well, the alternative is people don't die then on the streets, and people are, you know, hopefully not caught on Lakeshore Drive in the snow.
Oh, and, remember that one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I get it. People think they blow stuff. I mean, this whole idea about where we're naming winter storms now, and then we're also naming wind events, and it's like,
What's the name of this? We're naming storms.
Yeah, the name. It's, I mean, not us as like collective, you know, everybody, but it's like the Weather Channel, which again, their whole gimmick is making money off of weather. So no surprise there. So they name winter storms because it's more scintillating. They can put up a headline, you know, Winter Storm Maria pounds Colorado, 15 feet of snow. You know.
Can you name it after women though?
I don't know that there's. I don't know what the rules are at the Weather Channel for naming winter storms.
I've got something, and I'm sure you can find a space for the audio of this.
Okay.
The city of Chicago is holding its first annual "You Name a Snowplow" contest. Residents are encouraged to use their ingenuity and imagination, unquote, to create names by January 6, 2023. The city is going to pick the six names, top names, and each one will represent a plow
in
the city's snow districts. And here's what she said. Chicago knows snow, said Mayor Lori Lightfoot, and we count on our snowplow and drivers to be here every winter for us to make sure that the roads are safe. I'm thrilled to begin this fun and exciting naming process. Lori, are you a chumbalone? And do you think we're all chumbalones? You got to name a snowplow? Name it after the legendary drivers. Name it after the, how about this? Ponchino, 1, 2, 3. You know what a Ponchino is with the drivers? It's coffee, Lee, you like your coffee and your 50-ounce French press. Coffee. I've got a little glass one, okay, and it's not metal. It's not stainless. And if it breaks, I'm going to cry.
I've broken a couple. That's why I'm not stainless now.
Okay, a Ponchino is coffee and, like, brandy or cognac or grappa or something, whatever, to give you a little, you
a know, little nip.
Little nip. It's for the blood. You know,
right. Keep you warm.
And you have about six or seven of those and then drive a snowplow and smash in a bunch of cars. But
that's why my name I want to nominate is Dibs Destroyer. That would be a good snowplow name.
Oh, that's another thing. Hello, Alderman Lopez. You know, we attacked the Latino socialist at the beginning of this. So I should also attack the conservative Latino.
Okay.
Dog owner and lover and parent, concerned parent, Alderman Raymond Lopez, who's trolling Dibs people now. He's on social media.
Know.
Did you see that?
Yeah. Ray Lopez is anti-Dibs, apparently. And
my God.
I didn't think I'd expect that from him. So it's probably good he suspended his mayoral campaign, because I don't think he could get far running on a policy of that. So
that's the dumbest idea. You know, that's dumber than even putting like a Virgin Mary, like the blue Virgin Mary as Dibs, which I hate. I think that should be another capital offense. Okay.
Okay.
You use a Virgin Mary like on Dibs, and they did that in Dick Mel's old ward once, and his ward superintendent.
Yeah,
I'm told, and the guys were standing around. They didn't know what to do. Do you knock it down? Do you pick it up? And what do you do with it? You know, they needed a direction. I would think you'd call a priest first before you touch it. But yeah, Dibs, leave it alone. That's all I'm saying. Leave it the bleep alone.
Absolutely. Dibs lives on. It's a good system. We got it working.
Yeah.
Well, John, before we wrap up and go, I think just want to take a moment to actually, you'll be thankful for everybody who listens here and spends time with us every week, listening to us discuss the news of the day and bring you some of the minds we think are saying some interesting things and some interesting analysis. It's a lot of fun. It's always, I always get a kick out of people sharing our stuff and commenting on it and standing up for us when other people are trying to knock us down. And it makes me happy. And I know it makes for a good reason to keep doing this. And it makes me popular at all our Christmas parties, because I've always got friends and family who are like, oh, yeah, how's John doing? You know, John, so.
How's that curmudgeonly,
right? That's pretty much it. But they're fans. So.
Yeah.
So I thank them. I thank you. And, you know, of course, to my family and everybody who helps support me as well. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to 2023. And the next, another big year for this household, hopefully.
We've got our fingers crossed, Jeff.
Yeah.
You and Christine and your dad and everybody out there, and for Betty and me and the boys, got a similar sentiment. Of course, every year I write that Christmas column, and this time I also took a photo with Betty of Zeus the Wonder Dog and me sitting before the fire. And we might use it as in the ad copy for the Chicago Way.
I like it. We did just get your Christmas card, John. You have a beautiful family. Oh,
I'm very lucky. And we were having a big fight right before we took that picture. That's another story. And we got it after Christmas and the new year. We'll talk about people with fights during taking of the Christmas picture, because that's our family. We're just argumentative. We love each other. And remember, everyone, that God loves you, and he sent his only son to love us and to teach us how to love each other. And I think there's one thing we can do besides listen to Paul Harvey and that story about the birds and the farmer. You ever heard that one, Jeff?
Mm-hmm.
I love that one.
Yeah.
Because when he said the farmer was trying to save the birds on a frozen night, and the farmer said, he was getting frustrated because they wouldn't go in the barn like to protect themselves. And he said, if only I could be a bird and speak to them in their language, maybe they'd understand. And I thought, you know, why was Paul Harvey one of the great American broadcasters? Because he understood stuff like that.
Yeah.
And for Jeff and for me, for Christine and for Betty, for our boys and for Mr. Carlin, Jeff's dad, and for all our families, to all of you and yours, have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year from the Chicago Way on WGN Plus.